Good morning, everybody. Hello. So welcome to One Life Family Worship this morning. So I get to open, and when I discover that I'm opening, I'm like, oh, I haven't even thought of anything. But there's something that was on my heart this week, and it just came out of the blue, so I know that the Lord was talking to me about something, but it's about our name. So people who love me, that I have in my smaller group, my grandkids, my husband, my children, to them, I'm me mom, mom, honey. If my husband calls me by my given Christian name, I'm like, what? But when I introduce myself, I say, I am Vicky. And you know, God said, I am the great I am. And every time we introduce ourselves, we introduce Christ first. Because we say, I am. I am Vicky. I am me mom. I am Tim's wife. And if they call me anything other than what I am to them, it makes me crazy. It really does. And so we all know that God has so many names: Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Abba, Father, God. He doesn't care what we call him. He just wants us to call him. And he wants us to always remember when we say, I am, we are introducing him before we introduce ourselves. So remember to be open this morning. Call on his name, whatever the name is you have for him, because he wants to hear from you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift up this service to you this morning. Lord, let your will be done in this service this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we call on you and as we lift our hands and we lift our praises and our voices to you, Lord, know we are calling on your name. And we are calling out to you. And Heavenly Father, Lord, let your words be spoken, Lord. We give this service to you. You do what you want with it. And we just pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
magnify your name over our lives today.
Tells this amazing story. When she was younger, she has an aunt that, when she was younger, told her, when you're not feeling peace, just begin writing the name of Jesus. Nothing else. Just Jesus over and over and over and over. And this is a practice my wife has kept with her since she was a young girl. And she tells that story, and I just think it's such a beautiful depiction and how we can complicate things and try to say all the right words and do all the right things and et cetera, et cetera. And today, I think Jesus is just wanting to remind us, church, that it's as simple as saying his name. We want breakthrough in our lives, just say his name over your life. You want healing over your body, just begin saying his name over your life right now, over that body part that needs healing. Just begin declaring the name of Jesus. His name is power. It's not just another name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Healing backs, healing legs, healing headaches, healing, taking away night terrors, taking away migraines, restoring relationships between you and your kids. Thank you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will see all the goodness of God. All my life, and all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will see of the goodness of God. Say, I love your voice. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, the darkest nights. You are close like no other. I know you as a father. I know you as a friend. And I have faith in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. Goodness of God. See, all my life, hey, and all my life you have been faithful, Jesus. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness. Your goodness is running after me. Sing this out, church. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Sing all my life. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good.
With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing again, just the voices.
So good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing, your goodness is running after.
'Cause your goodness is running after.
It's running after me.
Goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Oh Lord, your goodness is running after, is running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
sorry. And I'll just sing another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry. And I come with my agenda. I'm sorry. And I forgot that you're in.
Just want you, nothing else. Several years ago, I remember a service that we had here, and the altars were not full. Just a few people came forward and wanted some prayer. And this one gal particularly, that has my heart even to this day, she was really seeking after something from the Lord. And I remember the Lord putting something in my heart, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't say that. You know, she's seeking after you. She's wanting more of you. But I really just knew God wanted me to say it to her, and I said, if God never did another thing for you from this day forward, if being saved, if being in a church family, if worshiping him up to this point, if he never did anything more for you, would you still love him? Now, that's a hard question. That is a hard question. If he never did another thing for you, would you still love him? Now, I know the Lord's heart. He wants to do everything for us. He wants to give us everything we need, and sometimes even things that we want. But I think that question is more about us and our heart than it is about him and his. Because can we say with all assurance, if he never did another thing for me, I would still love him? But we're not that kind of people. We're not made that way. We're in a society that is, you give me and I give you. And when it's a fair trade, we're all good. I mean, think about it. When you sit down to watch a TV program, you always hope that there's going to be a good ending. If it's a good ending, it's good for the network. It's good for you. Everybody's happy. Think about it with coffee with a friend. You go out for coffee with a friend and you sit down and they're happy with you and you're happy with them, and the establishment is happy because you both just bought your coffees there. Everybody's good. That's the kind of world we live in. But in the spiritual realm, it's so different. Jesus gave it all. And like I like to say often, all he would have had to do was drop one drop of blood. That's it. That would have been enough for all mankind. But he gave it all. If Jesus never did another thing for you, would you still love him? It's not about him and who his character is and what he wants to do for you. It's about you and your character and where you are in your heart with him. I've been thinking about this all week. Pastor Mike, would you come forward? There's a particular person here that I can't wait to wrap my arms around. But there may be other people here that have something wrong with them. Adam, baby, would you come here to me and Nino? Mom and Dad, anybody else can come forward that wants to. Adam had the worst week, I think I could say, of his life. Right, bud? And here, just stand right here, baby, by me and Nino. This is our godson. He's special to us. And he's had the worst week. He had a car accident and got a concussion and he lost football for the rest of the year. I mean, it's been rough. And my heart's just been broken for him this week because I know that some of his dreams had to go by the wayside this week. And so I want to pray for Adam, but as if anybody else is here and they need prayer, body, spirit, doesn't matter what, if you'd like to come forward, and if you'd like to come forward and lay hands on Adam, we're going to pray for Adam. But let's just have just a short time of prayer, and let's pray, okay? Just take a moment, say hi to other people, and we'll get started in just a minute.
Transitioning, yep. Or whatever it's called. Announcement. Okay. like we always say, you guys are great visitors and fellowshippers and communicators. We're going to go ahead and get ready to do our declaration over the Yakima Valley. We're still working on our other declaration, but there's nothing wrong about this one. This is a good one. So if you would stand with me, if you're so inclined, you don't have to stand if you're not able, of course, but we're going to declare on three a blessing of God over our city. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Yakima. We thank you for Yakima Valley, Lord, the entire county. Thank you, Lord, that this is a place, Lord, where you reside because your people reside there. And Lord, I pray that your people, Lord, in the coming days, Lord, would be light in dark places, Lord, would be light in their schools, would be light, Lord, in their workplaces, would be light, Lord, in their recreational times, Lord, that your people, the light of the world, as you've called us, Lord, that we would be light, Lord. I pray that if there's things in our lives, Lord, as your people in this city, Lord, that is holding us back from being the true light that you've declared us to be, Lord, that you have your angels, the resources of heaven, move them from our lives, Lord, so that we truly reflect Christ to this lost and dying world. We just bless Yakima right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Did we not get any?
Did you put the slides in?
Oh, I did put the slides in, didn't I? It's my bad. Okay, hang on a second. So I don't know if I'll just use this. Did they warn the ladies that the downstairs bathroom is out of commission? Okay, I want to warn you, the bathroom's out of commission. And when we were getting ready to walk into the prayer room at a quarter till, Eric was getting a couple things finished with the coffee, and he called and said, the bathroom flooded. So I'm thinking, okay, it's like, you know, there's a toilet overflowed. No, it flooded all the way, started going into the fellowship hall, and then went into the room next door, and then it was like standing water about a quarter inch in the bathroom. Don't know what happened. So I told Eric, and I were scrambling, trying to get it as much done as we could before church started. I said, you go up, get started with worship. I said, and make sure that you let the Lord do what he wants to do, because somebody or something doesn't want today to happen very well. So, but what ended up happening is I was down there, and I knew one of the songs from today's service, and it's one I love anyway, is like, nothing else will do. So I started singing it while I was doing this, you know, and because you guys were singing something else, but I was singing, you know, nothing else will do. I just want you. And then I said, caught up in your presence. How is this caught up in your presence, Lord? You know, I'm sitting here backing up. No matter. I mean, who knows what it was? Let's just put it that way. And but, you know, his presence was sweet. You know, even during that, you know, in one of the lines it says, I don't need anything. And, you know, it's not always going to be good when we serve him. But, you know, if our heart's right, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. We can receive that from the Lord, that peace, that presence, that joy. When we're going through, you know, what you guys went through this week, Perez family, you know, It's not a rose garden that he promised. Well, rose have thorns, so maybe it is a rose garden that he promises. Sometimes beautiful, sometimes ouch. But, you know, his presence was with you through that. You know, there's other families that have gone through things this week. They don't have God.
And they're still like in crisis mode. You guys, even though you're still struggling with things because of what he's been going through, there's still the peace of God, the comfort of the Holy Spirit that rests on us. We need to treasure that we're not of this world, that we're of another realm. Amen. You have something to say? Okay. Let's go ahead and look at what we have. Giving to the mission. Oh, Eric needs to share about this because this is his thing. I don't know if you guys know, but Eric now works for Union Gospel Mission full time. He is basically a individual that meets people right after they get up in the morning and they're hungry for coffee. And yeah. Do you give them donuts too?
Pastries.
Okay, that's just as good. All right, well, here you go.
Yes, so part of my job, I'm there early in the morning at 7, and as you guys, anybody who's been out in the morning knows, it's very, very cold. Yeah. There are people literally sleeping on the streets in the 20-degree weather, and so I get up and, make coffee and start a fire and all that stuff. But anyhow, I got to thinking, because the department I'm in is outreach, and I'm giving out a lot of gloves, a lot of beanies, you know, stuff that... some people don't have, or they don't have access to. I'm realizing in my department, looking around, like, wow, we're getting a lot of donations. Wouldn't it be great if our church played a part in that? And so what we're going to do is from now until the beginning of December, so the first Sunday in December, we're going to do a beanies, gloves, and hand warmers drive. And next Sunday when you guys come, there'll be something out in the foyer where if you would like to give towards this, you just bring it directly to the church, and we're going to collect for the next 3 weeks. And then at the end of that 3 weeks, I'm going to take it all to work. And those are all going to be given away to people who need it. And so pray about what it is you want to give, how you want to support. If you're thinking about coats and blankets and stuff, don't bring those things because the mission itself doesn't take those. Those go to the thrift store. So if that's where your brain is going. Did you have a question, Mom? I feel like you have a question. Let's keep it to the beanies, gloves, and hand warmers, okay? Alex?
Does it have to be new?
No, it doesn't. So that's... What does that have to be?
It doesn't have to be new. Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be new. You probably don't want something tattered, though. I mean, you'd want something that's...
Gently used.
That's a good way.
And if you don't have time to go shopping, and you just want to give to the cause, hand it to Pastor Eric... And we can go shopping for it.
There we go. Okay. That's good. All right. Oh, I love this. Do you want to... My favorite service.
Okay. So this is my favorite service. Did I say that yet?
Yes.
Okay. So downstairs in the fellowship hall, go down these stairs and then in, and... We set up tables similar to how the Lord's Supper was in a U-shape because we don't have a long enough room to do just one long table. And the church serves soup and drinks and bread, and we just have the Lord's Supper. We all sit together. We partake of soup and bread, and then at the end, we take communion together. And so this is my favorite service of all time. And I think I told a story last week about how Vicky saw a police car in our parking lot that night and invited the police officers, the two, to come in and have soup and bread. And they did. And then they stayed and they took communion. They did. It was awesome. And so anybody can come to this. It doesn't have to be just for our church. We want you to invite family. We want you to invite friends. We want you to invite people that wouldn't normally go to church. Just tell them all it is eating, just eating a meal together, a small meal together, and having communion. That's all it is. And we want to do this the Sunday night before Thanksgiving, because that's when we're most thankful, is, the week before Thanksgiving. We're thankful for everything. And so it's a beautiful time. And so if you have any questions, see me afterwards. But this is, it's all provided. It's 5:00 downstairs in the fellowship hall.
Yep. Awesome. Okay. And on December 4th, right after Sunday service, we're going to be decorating the church. It should not take very long, hopefully. Famous last words. What's that? Many hands make light work. Exactly. We're going to have the nativity pieces already out, which will make a big difference because that is like a disaster every year. So if anybody has any questions about that, they can see me or myself or Eric, and we can, you have something to say about that?
We're going to bring in pizza get something to eat on your bellies, and it's just going to be right after the service,
pizza
right after church on Sunday morning, December 4th, then we're going to put the decorations up right after church. We'll order pizza in, and we'll just get her done.
Sounds good? All right. Oh, and we are believing, for those of you who say, oh, but that's Seahawks time, Pastor. That's gonna like dent into that. We're believing that we're gonna have up on the big screen the Seahawks. Or Eric's not coming. Okay, so hopefully that has to happen. So if nothing else, I'll just put a logo of the Seahawks up on the screen. It's like, here's your Seahawks, Eric. Hopefully that works.
No, he's going to work at doing that.
I can make it work, yeah. Hopefully. what?
Your mic. Oh, my mic. Sorry.
I know. She handed it to me.
One track. Sorry. Sorry, brother.
Didn't you hand it to me, though?
I did.
Yeah,
well, you had it
me.
When you started doing the things.
Thank you, Jesse.
Sorry, Jesse.
Keeping me from feedback. You probably said, what's he doing?
We want to thank everyone for giving.
Yeah.
It helps to keep the lights on and the building payment paid. And so we're thankful for your hearts, thankful for what you do to have the house continue on. And we're blessed by it. For those of you that don't know, we now have a school that uses the building Monday through Friday. So it's wonderful that we actually have a facility that we can help bless this school that's been displaced again by water damage. And so the Lord bless you for blessing us.
Amen. Amen. So last week we were getting ready to start the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And I really felt at that time impressed to have us have an activation. You guys remember that? Yeah, hopefully we do. Is someone from last week? If it didn't affect you, you know, you don't have to come trying to make up something. It's obviously it's a work. But if you've noticed like a change in your thinking this week, or maybe in your heart, or maybe the scriptures about this even open up to you about the Lord's presence, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, would you be open to give a testimony? Anyone? Just checking. Okay. Oh, Katie. Okay, cool, Katie. Come on. Thank you.
Oh, brave one.
Oh, brave one. Exactly.
It's one, babe.
So the last 2 weeks I had kind of been going through a lot of like spiritual warfare and things that were going on. Noah and I kind of took a leadership role in the youth and getting more involved in church and doing a lot of things. So, the week before church last Sunday, so like 2 weeks ago, it was kind of a rough week. But I was just surrounding myself with a lot of people in prayer and things like that. And then at church on Sunday, I really just felt like the Holy Spirit just come and like hug me and just give me like a hug that I needed. And then on Monday, I prayed with Eric and Nancy as well. And then just the rest of the week, I just was really tuned in with the Holy Spirit. And like, I just kept feeling like that hug and that presence from God the whole entire week.
That's
but
awesome.
Yeah, so that
praise
was really
the Lord.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. So again, if the thing is that we don't have to feel anything for things to happen.
Right.
But it is nice when you get like, a confirmation right away. But I want to encourage everyone to have an expectation over the next, however long, that the Lord's going to be doing more and more in you as you're open to having Holy Spirit and the Lord work in your life. Amen? So again, we're going through 2 Corinthians 13:14, and we're communicating three principles, basically. And one of the principles is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one is the love of God. And the third one is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And over this time, we've looked at the idea of grace. We've looked at the idea of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked at the idea of what love is, and then the love of God. Then we've looked at fellowship. And now we're going to look today at the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And then hopefully next week or the week after, we'll be bringing everything together. Why did Paul say those three things? What was his intent? Obviously, it wasn't so that Pastor Mike in 2022 in October and November could preach a series on it. That he had something in mind. He had something that he was trying to get the believers to understand and for them to receive at the same time.
And something in mind, not just for you, but for you, you know, and for me.
Exactly.
It was something in mind for all believers. So that counts everybody, you know. So that's awesome.
So let's go ahead and read these scriptures again. I know you've heard them, but you know what? Repetition is good to get things into us. Go ahead.
2 Corinthians 13:14, the ESV. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the New International Version. May the grace shown by the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that God has given us and the sharing of the life brought about by the Holy Spirit be with you all. The next one's New King James Version. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And then the Amplified, my favorite. The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it. Can I just say something that I've noticed in this particular translation?
Sure.
Every week that we've done it.
Yes.
Is I've noticed that the grace has more emphasis, you know, amplified. And I've noticed that the fellowship is more amplified. But do you notice that the love of God has no amplification?
Mm.
It's like we don't need to know any more than the love of God. He doesn't need to be amplified in any other way in that he's love, and the love of God needs no amplification. It doesn't. It's so powerful, it stands on its own.
Right.
I love that.
It defines itself. It defines itself.
Yes.
That's good. So today we're going to be looking at the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And we started with this verse last week, and that's kind of where I really felt the impression of, you know, us being activated. But it says here in John 14:16-17, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And he's not just in the disciples, he's in us. Some people say, well, that was to the disciples. No, it's for us. How many know the Holy Spirit is for us? And we will see that with other scriptures. But notice that the Holy Spirit is being called a helper.
Mm-hmm.
That word, as we'll see in a bit, is actually paraclete. So let's go ahead, not parakeet, paraclete. Let's go ahead and look here at John 14:25-26.
These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
So here Jesus in 14 is saying the Holy Spirit, the Helper, that he's going to bring everything into remembrance that he said. But how many know that the Holy Spirit doesn't just bring truth and revelation about what Jesus said or what he did? He brings it to us as well.
Mm-hmm.
How many have like read the word and you've read like a passage, but it's almost like it was amplified? Like it's like you were reading between the lines of what was being said there. And like you just go, whoa, let me read that again. And you read it, and you read what's there, but there's more that's coming out. Mm-hmm. That's the Holy Spirit filling in the blanks. That's the Holy Spirit correcting maybe even a translation.
Yeah.
Years ago, I had a friend who found out that I had read, when I just gotten saved, the New American Standard Bible, which The New American Standard Bible, for scholars, has been considered the most accurate version. But the individual who was behind that translation, and the translation previous to that that the New American Standard became, was a Unitarian, which doesn't believe in the deity of Christ, didn't believe in the virgin birth. He didn't believe in a lot of things. And so it's possible that some of that came through when he was translating, the bias. But I was sitting with a person who said, oh, you should have been reading the King James 16:11 only. And he said, this verse right here says this. And he took me to this verse and we read it in his Bible. He says, oh, yeah, that's what I read. And he said, well, take it here. Read what this says. Oh, that's not what I read. I read what you read. It's like the Holy Spirit filled in even what Thayer tried to take away. Holy Spirit said, no, that's not what's supposed to be there, son. And so he made sure that I got the truth. And so I believe he can do that for all of us. Amen?
It's really good.
That is really good. All right. John 15:26.
But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me.
This is just again to emphasize that Jesus is really emphasizing the Helper. And remember, he's another Helper. And the thing is that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was, obviously the Spirit of God was working. We know that the Spirit of God was working in, different individuals. I think what was his name? Simeon, who was in the temple when Jesus came in to be circumcised on the eighth day. Right. And Anna, the Holy Spirit is referenced there. But this is different. The Holy Spirit was I guess the best way to put it was like in a limited mode because Jesus had not gone to the Father yet. The Holy Spirit was only able to work in mankind a certain way. He wasn't outpoured like happened on the day of Pentecost, which we'll read about. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, sent from the Father, the Spirit of truth, you need to know that when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of truth. That means that you do not have to be subject to deception. You don't have to have people come up to you and trick you by, fancy words or fancy, so-called theology. Because the Spirit of truth is in you. And so if you rely on that Spirit of truth and not just listen to what's coming at you, that's why you were so encouraged in the book of Acts that they were to study the scriptures. The people who verified what the disciples were saying were accounted as highly esteemed. Mm-hmm. Because they were making sure what they were hearing was true. And I believe that there has been for whatever reason, in the Western church, I'll put it, a lack of people verifying what they're hearing. Wow. There's a lot of things that have come, through the years that one preacher says, another preacher repeats. And years ago, I heard someone say something about that was in the very first chapter or second chapter of Genesis. And they said, well, this is what this Hebrew word means. And so one time I was sharing it. I was going, blah, 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 blah. And it said, did you verify that? Something said, no, I didn't verify that. So I went back and I checked the Hebrew and I checked other translations. I said, it doesn't say that at all, And so the Holy Spirit, especially when I was sharing it.
Blapping it.
Corrected me, yeah. So thank the Lord for that, right? What you can add a lot, yeah.
I think, too, in that point, we have to be okay with being wrong. We have to be okay with coming to the realization that we don't know everything.
We're not perfect.
Yeah. Nor will we ever know everything. This man knows the Bible. Like, you guys ever talk to him and just ask him, what's that verse about that thing? He's like, oh, you mean blah, blah, blah. And you're like, sure. Right? Like, he knows the Bible. Also, I think it's very humbling for him to sit up here and say, oh, I thought I knew what I was talking about and then realize I was wrong. And so this is why it's so important that we don't just come to church and just consume and like, okay, well, Pastor Mike said it. Like, not to say he's up here speaking heresy. However, it needs to be your relationship with
exactly.
the Bible, your relationship with the Word. So then you can say, hey, this is, I don't just believe what Pastor Mike believes. I actually believe what Holy Spirit is speaking to me.
Yeah.
Amen. That's really good. All right. Let's look at John 16:7. You notice this is interesting. If you want to read about really the ministry of the Holy Spirit towards the church, the disciples, use John 14:15-16. It's all through there, and because I've just pulled bits and pieces out. But here's John 16:7.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you.
I always think this is just a crazy scripture, because if you think about it, he's just told them in John 14, I'm going away, and where I'm going, you can't come right now. Well, you will come, but you'll come later. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, a room for you. I'm going to prepare a place in the Father for you. And so that's really, really good. But they were sad. You're going away. No, Jesus, I mean, everything's going well. I mean, you know, you just raised Lazarus from the dead, and, you know, and we just had this triumphant entry, and, you know, and you just washed our feet and taught us
things
truths.
Are clicking.
Yeah,
things
it just
are moving.
Seems like everything's great. And then, no, I'm going to go away. But then he says, it's your advantage that I go away. It's better for you that I go away.
Yeah.
I mean, do you just think about when someone goes away, you know, Tim, when you went to Poland, I mean, it'd be hard for you to say, hey, it's better for you that I'm going away to Vicky, right? She's going to say like, I don't know if that's right. You know, but Jesus said that to his disciples, to his bride. It's better for you. It's more advantage to your life than I'm going.
Yeah.
What does that mean about the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
What value is Jesus putting on the Holy Spirit? A lot.
Yeah.
He's saying the Holy Spirit is going to be better for you than me.
Wow.
That's what he's saying.
And how many of us don't rely on him? I mean, you don't really think about it. Like, my kids, when they were little, they used to hate to ride in the car with me when I would go to the grocery store, because I would pray that Jesus would give me a spot up front. I know that sounds bad, but I did. I prayed it because I was tired. I had 3 kids. I had to haul them into that grocery store, and I had to haul them back out with bags. And I wanted a place up close. And my kids are like, why do you pray for a problem? Well, if it matters to me, it matters to him. Now listen, if it matters to you, it is going to matter to him. And so how many of us try to do it in our own strength? And we really don't have to. And it's like I said, it's like adding STP. You guys, your young ones don't know what that is. You young ones don't know what that is, I just said. STP was an additive that you put in your tank with your gas, and it would make your gas run better.
They might be familiar with heat. That's one.
Back in the day.
Heat, right? Is that one that people use now? No.
I don't even know what STP was. All I know is they made it, people used it, it made your gas go better, longer, faster, farther, all that stuff. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for us.
Yeah.
And some of us leave him in the pages of that shut Bible. Where are you leaving the Holy Spirit? And why would you do that? Why? Even if y'all weren't here and I was the only one standing here, Holy Spirit still would want to help me. In another way, not just, you know, whatever. But he would want to help me. That's how important you are to him. Open up the pages. Let him come to life in your spirit. And let him be in you. Used and loved and adored by you. Valued by you. Because he was so valued by the Lord.
Amen. Here's the amplified version, which you love, usually amplified. Exactly. It's very good.
But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. Who needs comfort today? Who needs to have someone advocate for them today?
Mm-hmm.
Who needs someone to intercede for them? Because they do not have any words to speak what they need and what they know is in there. The Holy Spirit does that for us. What about your counselor, the one that gives you good advice? Like, don't go through that green light. Just stay right there. Boom, in comes the car. That's what happened. Holy Spirit told him, don't go through that green light. Just stay stopped. Don't go. And a car ran a red light. He would have been T-boned had he not stayed in that lane with his brakes on. Counselor, strengthener. How many of you are weak today? How many of you are so weak today you don't feel like you can put one foot in front of the other? Or even care to? What about the standby? The one that stands by, right by. Stands right by you. Stands by you.
Mm-hmm.
And goes with you everywhere you need to go when you need to do it. And he's right there by you to jump in and help whenever needed.
That's the Holy Spirit. That's the definition of paraclete. It's all of those things. It's a helper. It's a comforter. Really, really, a paraclete in the way it was used in the Greek most of the time was an advocate, somebody that spoke on your behalf. Could be like an individual that was like a lawyer speaking on your behalf. Could be for some other kind of case, but it's someone that took your stead and was like interceding for you. But it also means, like she said, someone that would be with you and help you when you needed it. And, you know, I think, you know, the Holy Spirit is it's kind of like been, in some ways, it's kind of been like a conflict in the body of Christ for years. I mean, when I was, you know, first saved, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was like with, you know, the Pentecostals and the Charismatics. And everybody else, you know, would like, yeah, it was like a war. Yeah, it's like we had the Holy Spirit and they didn't have the Holy Spirit. It's kind of the way we did it. And unfortunately, you know, it wasn't Christ-like. You know, it wasn't for them to say what we had was of the devil, and for us to say that, you know, well, they didn't have all of God was, you know,
wrong.
Yeah. Because I know many people who maybe don't, you know, speak in tongues, you know, because that was usually the definition of you're baptized in the Holy Spirit if you speak in tongues. But I really believe that if we're hungry for all that God gives us and wants to give us, that he'll give us the Holy Spirit. Yeah, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I prayed in tongues all night. You know, it was, I woke
radical.
Up, went to sleep with my, I guess I went to sleep with my hands up in the air praying in tongues, and I woke up praying in tongues. I mean, it was a very, very significant experience. But that doesn't negate anyone else that's wanted all of God and received the Spirit of God. And, you know,
it hasn't.
Yeah, and I know people that have prayed in tongues, but they didn't have love. They didn't have compassion for others. They were mean, you know. And so it's like, I really believe when we have the Holy Spirit, we have the fruit of the Spirit working in our lives, which is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of those attributes that are part of the Spirit of God working in our lives.
Right.
Here's another. Oh, do you have one?
I was just going to say, and do you have to have speaking in tongues to
have the Holy Spirit?
Have the Holy Spirit, you don't. It adds to you, because sometimes when you don't know what to pray, he can pray for you through you. And that's the big thing for me, is there are times I honestly do not know how to pray. And then I just let Holy Spirit pray through me. And I take the back seat and I just let him and God commune and, you know, and figure it out.
And I've helped many people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But is it necessary for your Christian? Necessary is a hard word, but is it a yes or no? If you go, do you get to go to heaven? If you don't, of course you get to go to heaven.
Or that's is the Lord ridiculous. Even working in your life or not?
I can't tell you how many times my sweet little old daddy sought for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to receive the tongues, and he never got it. Now, whether or not that was his problem or not, I am not going to say. All I'm saying is my daddy sought after it, and he never got it. But I tell you right now, he's up there with Jesus right now, and they're fishing and getting some mighty big bass out of that heavenly lake. I have no question about that. And you don't have to do that in order to go to heaven. It's just a good thing for you. So if you're interested in it, you want more information later, come see us.
Yeah, she's and the thing is, again, it's not like you know the it's exclusionary thing.
No,
you know, there's this group over here and group here. It's like I think it's like more of a part of a functioning. Some people can function in that. Some people can't. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, I believe if you've asked for the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've asked to receive all of the Holy Spirit, I believe you do. Yeah. Whether you speak in tongues or not. I'm telling you right
Amen.
Now. Because, you know, it says that, you know, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened for you. You know, whoever asks, receives, whoever knocks, open doors open, and whoever seeks finds. Kind of messing it up a little bit, but what father among you, if he asked for a fish, would he give him like a stone and or
serpent.
A serpent? Yeah, or what? Ask for a bread,
you get a stone.
Stone. There you go. She's correcting it. See, I got the general idea. But then it says, how much more does your father want to give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He wants to give it. It's his good pleasure for us
Amen.
To give us the kingdom.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit is part of that kingdom. All right, here's another verse. This is going to let you know that the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit is for you. Go ahead.
Acts 2:38-39. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.
For all who are far off, not just for them, not for just their children, but all for who are far off and everyone who God calls to himself.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is for. Romans 8:14-17.
Actually, it's 15 and 16, maybe.
Oh, 15 and 16. Yeah, I guess I filtered that one because it's like, oh, well.
Okay, 15:16 it is. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
So if he's bearing witness, what's he doing? He's communicating to us. He's being that helper. He's saying, you are a child of God. You know, you don't have to just say it yourself. The Holy Spirit will confirm it in our hearts. Mm-hmm. It says that the Holy Spirit is the down payment of what we're truly going to receive from God. And I believe that means when we're finally with him face to face. The Holy Spirit is a down payment of that. Mm-hmm. All right. 1 Corinthians 16:19-20.
6:19-20.
6:19-20.
Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body.
So again, you are the temple of what? Of God, because it says that the Lord lives in us, but the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he doesn't come and go. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't come and you experience him because you go to church. Oh, now the Holy Spirit's working in my life. No, the Holy Spirit works in you while you're asleep. Holy Spirit works in you while you're at work. Holy Spirit works on you while you're driving. The Holy Spirit is with you all the time. That's why when you go and you do things that aren't pleasing to the Lord or grieve the Holy Spirit, as the Bible says, you're not remembering that your body is the temple of God and you're not glorifying God in your body. That's why it's good to, as it says in Romans 12, make your body a living sacrifice. Lord, my body, I'm making a living sacrifice. I will not do things that I know that will hurt the Holy Spirit, will hurt you in me, will not be your character or your nature. And that's what it's saying here. For we were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Mm-hmm. Right? Amen. All right. Final verse is 13:14 again.
2 Corinthians 13:14.
And why did we do this? I did this because I wanted to emphasize the C part of that verse. And what I've done is where it said the fellowship of the Spirit, I broke it down. And so you'll be reading an amplified version of
the amplified?
The amplified version of the amplified. How about that?
Wow. Who knew?
I don't know if this is legal, but it's like we're doing it.
So
amplified
is this
version
just the end
amplified.
Part of it?
Just the very end.
Okay. And the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together, and participation in the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, be with you all. Amen.
So
be it.
And the presence, fellowship, communion, sharing together, participation. That's all that word fellowship.
Right.
All of that in connection with the Holy Spirit, which is the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby. May that be with you all. Amen. So what he's saying here is that may the full work of the Holy Spirit be at work in you. Let God's complete work be completed in you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have some music?
And just when you think it's been completed in you, then something changes and you realize,
yeah.
I've not arrived yet.
Yeah, I think the completion will be an eternal experience myself.
Don't open the can of worms, baby.
Amen.
Amen.
Space for you to come, have your way. I'm open, I'm open. My heart is an open space for you to come, have your way. I'm open, I'm open. Where are you going? is open wide. My eyes are open wide. What are you saying? What are you saying? Where are you going? My heart is open wide. My eyes are open wide. And what are you saying? Where are you going? Open wide, my eyes are open wide. See my heart. My heart is an open space for you to come. Have your way, I'm open. I'm open. Oh. My heart is an open space for you to come. Have your way, I'm open.
Spirit, we just thank you that you're in this place. We just pray that as we leave this space, as we leave this holy moment, God, that we would not leave you behind. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would encounter your children today, God. And as we go about our week, as we go about our day, as we go about our jobs, our schedule, God, that we would do it with Holy Spirit in mind. We would be open to what you want to do when you want to do it. Our hearts would be tuned to you, Holy Spirit. And I just pray for any person in this place that's looking for guidance, that has questions, that's felt lost. The Holy Spirit, right now, you'd begin to speak clearly to your children. Give them direction. We thank you, Jesus, that you gave us this beautiful gift. And I just pray we would utilize it on a daily. And we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.